Hey, First Five friends, my name is Kendra LeGrand, and it's an honor to welcome you to our weekend teaching. We just finished our final week of study for Seeing Jesus in the Old Testament in the First Five app. And to finish us strong and to finish our study strong, we have Joel Mutamale, who was the co-author of Seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. Joel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Kendra.
Great. Well, we're excited to learn from you. But before we do, I'm going to recap our major moments. So Genesis chapter 46, verses 31 through Genesis chapter 47, verse 31, Joseph looked out for his own family, but Jesus made a way for all to be invited and included into the family of God. Exodus chapter 14, just as God parted the Red Sea, Jesus calms the storm, sometimes physically, but always spiritually for those who trust in him. Jonah chapter 1, unlike Jonah, who begrudgingly went to the Ninevites after spending 3 days in the belly of the fish, Jesus willingly laid a tomb to save and reconcile all mankind. Exodus chapter 20, the Torah served as a guardian, but in Jesus, we have our greater guardian and therefore our ultimate protector. And Isaiah chapter 59, unlike David, who was not strong enough to wear the armor of the king, today believers are protected and equipped with the armor, the divine King of heaven and earth. All right, Joel, we're excited to learn from you.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Kendra. I love those major moments. I can't believe that we're at the end of our study. Oh my goodness. That was quite the journey of seeing Jesus in all of these amazing and sometimes unexpected places throughout the Old Testament. And I'm really excited for today because I think what we'll do essentially is really build off of so much of what we have done the first 5 weeks, the first 4 weeks. But before I get started, Kendra, I have a question for you. Have you ever put on clothing or anything like that, that, you know, maybe just wasn't the best fit?
I have. Yes, I have.
Now, walk me shopping. Walk me through this, like, situation. Like, what do you do? What decisions do you make when you put it, like, you know, it's like, you just roll with it. Like, talk me through the complexity of the situation.
Well, it's very complex because there's different fabrics that fit different. The seams cannot be laying right. And then the dreaded mirror. Sometimes I think I look great. And then sometimes it really just shows everything in the wrong places. So it is quite the adventure.
And if it's not like the right fit or whatever the situation is, then what do?
I put it back on the hanger and put it back on the shelf, you know, put it away.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, we're going to be in three different passages of scripture. It's a true biblical theology. So for all of my note-taking friends that like to know where we are, where we're going, what's going to happen. The first passage is 1 Samuel 17. We'll look at verses 30 through 40. The second passage is going to be Ephesians 6, and we're going to look specifically at passages 10 through 14. And then we're going to end back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 59, specifically passages or verses 17 through 18. But I am a little bit of a confession, Kendra. I don't like confessing this. I hope my wife doesn't listen to this because it's a debate that we have consistently. But I think I have come to terms that I wouldn't say hoarder. I feel like a hoarder is just so much negativity around it. But I am sentimental. There is a sentimentality about who I am, particularly with things like shoes or like clothing, some clothing in particular. So there was a phase back in the day, I blame David Crowder for this, amazing worship leader, where all the cool kids wore track jackets. I don't know. Did you ever wear track jackets?
Oh, I'm a big track jacket girl. Yeah.
Okay. They're comfortable. So, you know, they're very comfortable and they're perfect, you know, for like different types of weather. And I had a track jacket for every day of the week. Like, it was amazing. And, you know, track jackets are not as cool anymore, though they may be cool in the coming years. But I had one track jacket in particular that was a green Nintendo track jacket, you know, like with the Mario mushroom on the back. Like, it was amazing. And over the years, my wife has somehow magically, some people would say deliberately. She would just say it's random, but all my track jackets have disappeared. I have no idea why. I have no idea who, aka Britt, has been getting rid of, but I have saved one track jacket, and it is my Nintendo track jacket. And I gave it to my oldest son, Liam, who's 10 years old. And I was like, son, I'm so excited for you to have this incredible track jacket. Y'all, the track jacket is so huge on my boy. Like, he is swallowed up in it. And he tried to wear it, and finally at one point he did exactly what you said, Kendra. He was like, you know, Dad, I love, like, this is so cool, but, you know, we might need to just leave it in the closet for the next couple of years so I can grow into it, you know? And he took it off, and to my, you know, dismay, he put it on the hanger, and he stuck it into that closet. And why? Why did that happen? Well, it was too big. It didn't feel comfortable. His friends would have probably made fun of him because he would look like just a little walking head in like a jacket that went down to his knees, basically. And so when clothing doesn't fit the way that it's intended to, the way that you need it to, the natural response typically is going to be to take it off and to get something else on that you feel comfortable with. Because the worst thing, I don't know if y'all have ever experienced this. I know I have, especially over the last couple of years that we've had. The pants that used to fit just like perfect, all of a sudden, when that button is just a little bit tighter than it needs to, and the belt, and you're in that weird spot in the belt between the holes, like, you know, it's like a little bit too tight, and you need to almost poke another hole. But if you poke it and somebody sees it, then they'll know that you're that person who's in the end. Like it's a whole situation. You don't want to feel uncomfortable, because when you feel uncomfortable, sitting in a chair is hard, driving in the car is hard, having the seat, I mean, all of these things become very difficult. Now, when we turn to this Old Testament passage in 1 Samuel 17, I wanted us to normalize this idea of clothing and to normalize just this concept of putting on clothing that fits well, that we feel comfortable in, that we feel like we can take over the world in, versus the type of clothing that we feel like, gosh, I just am insecure about this. Because what we find throughout the Old Testament, and we've done this in the last 4 weeks, we find these pictures, these images, sometimes these people like King David, who are types of Jesus. When we read about them and when we study about them, we see a glimpse of an anticipation of the better and future king who would be so much greater than King David. And simultaneously, for all the good things that they do, we're also reminded of their humanity. We're also reminded of their frailty. We're also reminded of all the ways that they don't match up to the perfection and to the provision that only King Jesus could give us. And there's this famous story in 1 Samuel 17. It's a passage when King David, before he's even a king, he's just a shepherd boy, and he goes out, and we like listen and hear about the story all the time as kids. If you grew up in the church, David slaying Goliath. But there's an important scene that leads up to this incredible battle scene between David and Goliath, and it takes place here in 1 Samuel 17. Now, remember everything that we talked about with clothing, and remember that we're now in the ancient world, in the ancient Near Eastern world, the Mesopotamians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, all these people groups are around. And the clothing that they would have worn all had a lot of intentionality around it. You know, it's not like they're like, hey, let me pick up a pair of Nikes for this situation. Like, you know, a pair of Nike 14s that are winterized in case that it might rain. Like, they didn't have that like just ability to just go into a shoe closet and pick up. Like, they had to have versatility, but they also had to have things that would meet their need. And so David would have understood this very intentionally, especially as a shepherd boy. He understood the necessity of a staff, which was basically an extension of his clothing in a way, the necessity of his clothing, what he wore. The same was true for the military world. The same was true for soldiers. Even more so, y'all, because, you know, for us today, the difference between a pair of pants that might be a little bit too tight is a feeling of uncomfort, you know? We might have a little red spot or something, like where it's just a little bit too tight, you know? For the ancient world, for these military soldiers, the difference is life and death. If they're uncomfortable in their armor, if it's not fitted the right way, the result could be the loss of their life in battle. This is the situation that King Saul finds himself in with this person named David, who's a shepherd boy, who comes and says, hey, it is not right for these Philistines to just be mocking Yahweh, the God of Israel, and all the Israelites. Something has to happen. And I think Saul is really excited that somebody's willing to stand up. And I want us to see a good part of Saul. And this is what verse 38 says. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And then catch this. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. It's an easy couple verses to just kind of go by and leave behind. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that is just a little detail of the story. Well, I think this is a massive part of the story. You see, what happens is that Saul tries to fit David with armor to protect him, and yet the armor that he puts on, David is a shepherd. He's not even fully developed as a man for the most part that we know. And Saul's a big old dude. If you remember when Saul, like, you know, he's a head over everybody else. Imagine trying to put on that type of armor and walk around and never having trained. When it says that it hasn't been tested, another way to understand that is he hasn't been trained. He hasn't built the muscles. He doesn't know how to swing a sword in this coat of mail and armor. Like, this is so uncomfortable. Ultimately, David did not have the strength, the power, or the expertise in order to wear that armor. And so he has to take those things off and put on what felt comfortable for him. Here's something that's super interesting. Because remember, David is a type of person that reminds us of who Jesus is, right? Notice what happens in Ephesians chapter 6, particularly in verse 10. In 1 Samuel 17, we're talking about armor and the armor that David was supposed to wear, but he couldn't. Because he didn't have the strength, he didn't have the power, he didn't have the might, the testing. Notice what happens here with Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. This is what Paul says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And he says, therefore, so in light of this enemy, this cosmic enemy, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And then he goes on to talk about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes that you put on that are evidence of the gospel of peace, and in every situation to take up the shield of faith and to be able to deal with the evil darts of the enemy, and to put on the helmet of salvation, and to hold the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and to pray at all times. I mean, this is one of the most incredible passages of scripture. And y'all, here's what I want to suggest to us. That what happens in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14, is a redemptive reversal of what takes place in 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40. You see, David could not put on the armor because he didn't have the strength. He didn't have the expertise. He didn't have the power. He didn't have all those things that was necessary in order to go out and to wage war in armor. But notice what happens in Ephesians 6, verse 10. First of all, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. It's an acknowledgement that, hey, yeah, you're right. We don't have the strength. Like, we don't have the might, but there's somebody who does. And his name is King Jesus. And King Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. And because of the Spirit that has been put on, that has been indwelt inside of us, we are actually living and working and acting, not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so then, because we have been empowered, because we have the strength of the Holy Spirit, notice all the different phrases for how we engage with the armor. They're all active verbs. 6:11, put on. 6:13, take up. 6:17, take. And so instantly, we see how good Jesus is. Jesus is the greater David. Why? Because Jesus is kind and gracious enough to give us his own strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit earlier in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3 talks about the Holy Spirit is our deposit. He's our seal of inheritance. He has indwelt in us and he has given us power. And so then when we get to Ephesians 6, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to put on this armor so we can deal with all of these cosmic evil realities, hardships in our life. And we can put on this gracious gifts, which is the armor of God for us. But here's one final thought. I actually think Paul has another passage of scripture in mind. And that other passage is Ephesians 59, verses 17 through 18. It actually starts at the end of verse 15. And this is the Lord. When it says the Lord, it actually says it's the intimate name of the Lord, Yahweh. And Yahweh saw it and displeased him. And what displeased him? That there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. And then catch this, then his own arm brought him salvation and his righteousness upheld him. Now, this is the divine warrior himself, Yahweh, verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and he wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak according to their deeds. Like he goes on and on. This is incredible. Here's what I think is happening. I think we're supposed to see both passages of scripture at the same time. We're supposed to see this reality that, oh yeah, just like with David, who was unable to put on the armor because he didn't have the strength, now because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the kindness of the greater David, King Jesus, we can put on the Spirit. Put on the armor of God because we have the Spirit who empowers us to do such. But here's the other thing that I think Paul has for us. We're not just putting on any arbitrary armor. It's not like we're just putting on some random piece of armor in the closet. We're not even putting on Saul's armor. This is even better. In the same way that a good king, Saul, at that time wanted to give his armor to David, here's what the greater king Jesus does for us. Isaiah 59, he gives us his very own armor to put on. And I think this is such a comforting, hope-filled, confidence-giving reality for you and I today. In our unseen places of hurt, in the moments where it feels like everything that could bring hope is absent, we can be reminded that the truth is, even in those moments, God has given us the power of his Holy Spirit. And because we have his Holy Spirit, the very same Spirit that empowers Jesus throughout his earthly life and ministry, because of the kindness of King Jesus to require, to demand that the Holy Spirit come down and to fill his church, because of this good Spirit of God who gives us power, we can put on Yahweh's armor and we can deal with anything that comes our way. And we don't have to be alone because we have the armor of King Jesus himself. And so I hope that this is a passage as we look at these three different places and we can see how Jesus is the greater David and how Jesus is the greater Saul, even in terms of the best king. And Jesus not only gives us his own armor, he gives us the power and the strength to actually wield his armor.
That's so good, Joel. As you were teaching, I just got this vision of you're building a bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament through this teaching. And I feel like that is the whole purpose of seeing Jesus in the Old Testament, is just seeing how Jesus has been plan A all along and how the bridge, we can see him, you know, all throughout scripture. And so thank you for bringing that out in the teaching today. And then thank you just for the reminder that every piece of the armor of God is very necessary and has a place and has a purpose. And it's not this random armor that we put on. It's very intentional. And so just thank you for that reminder as well.
Well, if we had another hour, I wish I could get into how the fact that when Paul describes this entire armor, he's actually talking about the Roman legion and how the Roman soldiers had all the armor and how all the armor was very intentional. And in fact, the most important part of the Romans' armor was actually the belt. And it's really interesting that Paul says, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, because y'all, guess what? If your belt falls apart, everything in the Roman army, the Roman soldiers' armor, was all basically hooked onto the belt. So, oh no, is right. Like, if the belt fell down, y'all are in lots of trouble because everything is coming down with the belt. And I do think it's really intriguing. The Paul says right here, stand therefore, having fastened on what? The belt of truth. And here at Proverbs 31 Ministries, we believe what, Kendra? What's our saying that we talk about all the time?
When we know the truth being God's word, and live the truth, it changes everything.
Absolutely. Right. And we really, really, really believe that the truth of the gospel, the truth of scripture is that Jesus has always, I love how you said it, Jesus has always been plan A. He doesn't randomly show up in the book of Matthew in a genealogy, that Jesus has been present. He is co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. He is a good, good king. And his presence is evident throughout the pages of the Old Testament that gives us confidence and assurance of his presence in our life today.
Look at that, Joel. That was an extra teaching. That was a bonus, everybody. That was not planned. So there you go. To end the study, we get a bonus teaching. All right. Well, let's go ahead and end our time together in prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much just for the opportunity to come together and learn from your word, learn right from scripture. Lord, thank you for this study in the way that we see the thread of Jesus from the Old Testament and all the way into the New Testament. Lord, he doesn't just show up in Matthew, Lord, but he's been there since the beginning. And thank you just for these reminders of we see humans, we see David and all of his humanity and just how he points to ultimately your son, Jesus. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We pray just over the study that it takes root in our hearts and that the scripture comes about when we need it most, God. And we just thank you for your spirit that we are not alone in any situation that we may be facing, but we have you right beside us. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.